You look just like I did at your age.
Please don't say that, Dad.
I'm 16 years old. I'm not a child.
Don't you take that tone of voice with me, young lady.
Love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
You're listening to Honey, We Made a Disney Podcast. Two friends since learning to tie our shoes in Mrs. Saunders' favorite class. Now Dad's reliving the Disney movies we grew up on with our own kids. I'm Eddie Ferguson.
And I'm JB Wagner. And on today's episode, the sky is falling as we review Chicken Little. But first, Eddie, how are you and the family doing?
We've been better. We have had another round of sicknesses. This Ooh. Is now going on. We're entering into week three, what would be week three of somebody being sick, and it's just kind of getting worse. And I had a really big moment. I was thrown up on by our daughter, quite violently. And I was quite proud of myself because I didn't throw up in return.
Wow.
That's typically my response is to, you know, need to follow in kind. But I held it together. I was quite proud of myself. I was like, Sarah, come here right now. And then I did the whole like shove my kid out of the way and like take care of myself moment. Because Sarah was like, oh, we need to bathe her. We need to take care of her. And I was like, yeah, she can get a bath after I get a shower. Like, no. And I literally like sidestepped our daughter and ran to the shower. And I'm like, I need to get clean. Like, I have to get all this. I took a quick shower and then we got her bathed. And, you know, she's fine. She's okay. It was all right. It all worked out in the end.
What is it they say they tell you on a plane to put your mask on first? It's like...
Exactly. I love your
you
logic.
You save yourself first.
Yeah. Enough about me and my disgusting Saturday that I just had. That's not why you all tuned in here to hear these gross stories. But we are dads. And this is... these are things that happen to us. I would like to say, you know, more like on a monthly basis, but... It's really more of a weekly basis. Something of that caliber is happening to me. So, hey, we have some new content coming to Disney Plus. We always like to help you out here on Honey, We Made a Disney Podcast and keep you in the know of what is coming down the Disney Plus pipeline. And we've got some new shows. Maybe one our hopes are getting a little excited for. JB, this first one. You playing the little Lucasfilm? Should I? I don't know. Get excited? Maybe, maybe not.
Well, the one thing we have that's going for us is we've already seen Ahsoka, which is the series that we're alluding to that's coming out August 26th. We've already seen her inside of Mandalorian season 2. She was the one that gave us Grogu's name, which we don't ever use. We just use Baby Yoda. But I think we've already gotten a taste of it, which is really good. Now, granted, we got a taste of Boba Fett and then immediately let down majorly with that. But I think I have moderate expectations for this. I think it's above. I think I do have expectations for this versus a lot of our other series. We're like, no idea what's going to be. Secret Invasion, Miss Marvel, any of those. It's like low expectations. So I think mm-hmm. I do. I think I am expecting this to be a captivating series. I kind of want to go back and rewatch some of the like things you need to know from watching Clone Wars or the Rebel series to get caught up on some of the other characters that are in this. But yeah, I think I have big expectations for her. How about you?
I'm excited. I liked her in Clone Wars. The character's an interesting character. The way they handled her, what would that have been? Season 2 of The Mandalorian that we first saw her?
Yep.
I thought they handled her really well in that. And this is probably the one I have been most excited about since season 3 of The Mandalorian, which I guess is why I play the little, should I not? Because season 3 was a little bit of a letdown. But that being said, I mean, season 3 was still fun. And like I watched every episode as it dropped.
And it was a letdown for what the Mandalorian has set as the yes. bar. So it's yes. it's different than other shows. Like, we already knew, hey, this is a show yeah. we love and revere. Like, it's got to hit this level. And even if it's lower, it's still better than Boba Fett.
Yeah. And I'm excited. You know, I hope we get some cool lightsaber battles. And, you know, because even like Obi-Wan Kenobi, I didn't love because I had expectations going a different direction for that. But at the end of the day, there was still some really great sequences in that, like the Vader Obi-Wan lightsaber battle. Fight that we got. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, you know, if we can get something of that level, it's worth it in the end. You know, it's worth my little Disney Plus subscription fee.
It is something to look forward to.
While it's still little.
Yep. So we still have a couple other things that are coming out on September 6th. We have The Little Mermaid. It's coming from theaters to Disney Plus, as well as I'm Groot, which my kids really enjoy, especially my daughter wants to rewatch that episode where he's in the little pool over and over and over mm-hmm. and over again. Mm-hmm. So we finally got some new episodes to pull into that. Are you excited about either of these two?
I will not probably sit down and watch Little Mermaid. Again, just not a fan of the live action remakes. We did just rewatch the original one, though. So that was nice.
Have you watched any of the remakes, or is this your corner that you're going to die on? Like, we're never going to watch any remakes.
That we really need to do a whole episode on this, shouldn't we? Like, make me sit down and watch them. No, I've seen maybe half of them. I have not seen the two Maleficent movies. I have not seen Lion King.
Aladdin?
I did see Aladdin.
Cinderella?
I did see Cinderella, yes.
Okay, so you've said no to all of them. It's just...
I said no for the longest time to Beauty and the Beast.
Wise choice.
Like, one... Beauty and the Beast is my favorite Disney movie, period. And like, no questions asked. And so I was like, no, there's no way. And I held out for a long time, like 3+ years. And I think it was Sarah who finally was just like, come on, let's watch it. And we sat down, we watched it once. And I don't even think I made it all the way through it, to be honest with you. Because I was just like, this is really bad. This is just, no, thank you. I don't want any of this. So I didn't see Mulan. That's one I didn't see.
Also not missing much. So Little Mermaid, it's just par for the course for you.
Yeah, it's just par for the course. Yeah. And I've heard a couple of like the new songs that they put on this one. Because I listened to the... Four Score podcast, which is a really great Disney podcast. If you haven't listened to it, it's this guy who like goes over all the scores for all Disney related movies. And I'm a big score fan. And so I listened to his interview with Alan Menken for the remake of Little Mermaid. And like they played a couple of different things or whatever. And it actually moved the needle in the opposite direction for me. Yeah. Like, I mean, not like opposite direction of like that should have made me want to see it some more. And it actually made me want to see it less. Wow. If I explained that well, where it's just like, yeah, no, I don't want to see this. So I think it's interesting that it's coming out, 3 months since being released in theaters. It was released the end of May, just a little over 3 months. I don't know. That's a little quick. But still 90 days. They're hitting that 90-day window.
My son keeps asking when Elemental is going to come back out so that we could watch it at home, which it finally hit the $400 million mark on sales. And Disney came out and said it's not always the flashy how you start, but how you finish in some of these films.
Yeah.
So they're super excited. We've been covering that. So I'm kind of waiting in anticipation when that's going to come out because I want to get my wife's reaction to it, my daughter's reaction, see how they like it. So hopefully that'll be coming soon.
And I want to see it again. Speaking of scores, I've been listening to the Elemental score a lot.
So have we. That song that they, that's like the romance song between the two, and I can never remember the name of it. I can never remember the name of it.
It's just a really fun score that like motivates you during work and stuff. So I've really enjoyed listening to it. That was another four score episode that I really enjoyed listening through. So I'm excited about that. The I Am Groot, that will probably be the one that we rush to there on the September 6th one. And I would love to see the internal numbers. I wonder if that will be the bigger watch.
Well, they're never going to give us the internal numbers. We're always just going to have to guess and take
they
a straw
tell you,
poll.
Nielsen now does streaming, and you can see what they rate as the most watched thing month by month.
Oh, okay.
So in just the past 14 days, I just saw one recently. In the past 14 days, Guardians of the Galaxy is at number one, and Bluey is holding out as number two.
It's always whenever they got a new season of Bluey, all the parents got to get on.
No, even when they don't have a new season, like Bluey's always in the top three. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is always in the top five. Always. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's kind of like how the Bible is always one of the best sellers. It's always going on.
We're going to make that comparison. Woo. Woo.
Ooh, jump a little bit.
Speaking of all things Disney Plus, you just pointed out something very interesting that we have not heard yet that we typically would have heard by now about Disney Plus.
Yes. So I was just interested in when we're going to get when are we going to get Disney Plus Day this year? Because they usually roll out new content, push that out to Disney Plus, of course. In previous years, they've done special collaborations with movie theaters to get people going to the movie theater. And that's how my son and I went to his first film, was through that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And they did big promos in the parks, too. Like, they gave out Disney Plus swags in all of the parks.
Didn't you get a box last year? Blow up
characters.
A thank you box?
We got a thank you. I don't know if it was in connection with Disney Plus, but we got a box with over like of things valued over $200 as a thank you for being one of the first Disney Plus subscribers. Like, we were one of the first couple thousand or whatever. And so they sent everybody these. In other words, what I think happened is they had all this extra merchandise because of the pandemic. And they're like, we're never going to sell this. Let's just give it away and garner some. And I'm like, yes.
Much
and of course, reward like your most. And we got a Toy Story box. We got a really cool box. We got a Toy Story box.
So yeah, Disney Plus Day, there's been no mention. I asked you about this. Nothing. You hadn't heard of anything. I don't know if you do any research in between, but it's usually been a big day.
I did.
And I was
nothing.
Nothing. It fits with the narrative of how they're feeling about Disney Plus right now as the child that has been acting up and they just don't want to acknowledge it right now. They're like moving the release dates for any movies coming to Disney Plus. They're not promoting it nearly as much. It's kind of concerning a little bit that they've now even canceled the special day they used to do and make it a big deal for the past couple of years.
Disney Plus, I like the analogy that you just put out there, and I'm going to take it a step further. It is like, you know, these couples that are having marital issues, and they really ought to go sit down with a counselor. It's like, you all have got some stuff to work out. Like, don't worry, it's fine. We've all got that. It's okay. We've all got that. And there's nothing wrong with going and sitting down with a counselor and working it out. But they don't. They go, you know what? Instead of that, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have a baby. Having a baby is going to fix all of our problems, right?
So who's and the baby? Like, more content? Is just content the baby? We're just going to make more content?
No, I think, I think Disney Plus to a certain degree is the baby, because it's like they had all of these issues of, well, and buying stock and issues, buying and buying all of these companies and going deeper and deeper into debt. And it's just like, let's just have a baby and that'll solve all this problem. Let's
have a streaming service.
Let's have a streaming service. And, you know, it wasn't well thought through there. I wonder, so I did a quick search. I couldn't find anything on Disney Plus Day. I have heard for a while that you know, we haven't heard it, many things about D23, which is the fan club that they created. That's kind of decreased a little bit. They're not talking about that as often. And there's rumors that they may just kill off D23.
Wow.
And I wonder, like, they're just in austerity. Like, they've got to cut the, you know, stop the bleeding, cut things.
To fan events. And
fan service.
Wow.
It doesn't really make them money per se. It just keeps the money that they are already getting, you know, which is a little scary. You know, I think you gotta, one of the things that we love about Disney is that they are typically really good to their fans. So I have a feeling maybe we won't get one this year, but they'll come back around to it. They'll do something there.
Okay. We'll be anticipating it. And speaking of anticipating, I've been noticing a trend of just our podcasts and news in general about Disney being super sad, super depressed, anxious, and anxiety is rising high. There's strikes everywhere. Nobody's working anymore or working on stuff we want them to work on. And I was just like, Eddie, we need to pivot today. We need to pivot this week's episode. And what I'm calling this is we're looking for reasons for optimism, reasons to get excited about Disney, specifically Disney shows, Disney movies, streaming, the stuff that we like to talk about, the stuff we like to watch and tune in every Wednesday or Friday or whatever, or going on the weekends. So, Eddie, I threw it out to you as like, what are some of the reasons you have for optimism? So we didn't really have a idea for this. I was just, maybe we go back and forth of just like going back on the, like you do one, I do one. And we just kind of say, hey, this is one of the reasons that I'm optimistic about the future of Disney and about the show streaming and movies that they got.
Yeah. The first one that I was most excited about this past week, this is a little bit of deep inside baseball, but Bob Iger, CEO, has brought back two really well-known names to the Disney company as consultants. They are Kevin Mayer and Tom Staggs. If you know anything about Disney history, particularly watch some of the Imagineering story, you know Tom Staggs was kind of the heir apparent to Bob Iger for, a good solid 5 years. He was the chairman of the parks, and in an effort to better prepare him to be the future CEO, they even made him the CFO for a while. Like they purposely were moving him around different areas of the company to give him the most experience. And he's known within the company for being just really well. He's a fan of Disney as much as he is an executive of Disney. That's kind of what he was known for. One of my favorite stories is when they were in Disney World redoing the Disney Springs area, and they kind of wanted to put this cool like adventure bar in. He was the one who went, you know what you ought to do is you ought to make it Indiana Jones themed, and you ought to name it after Indy's pilot, Jock Lindsey, which is like such a deep cut. You know, it's just like, you got to really be a fan of Indiana Jones to know that reference.
And so they did.
They ended up naming it Jock Lindsey. And they, what he knew that none of the Imagineers at the time knew is that Disney was in the process of acquiring Lucasfilms. So all the Imagineering team was just like, yeah, that would be cool, but like, we don't have rights to this. You know, we can't really do it. And he's like, you know, you go work on that. I'll, you know, leave that up to me. And of course, you know, behind the scenes, they're working out this huge merger, Disney acquiring Lucasfilm. So that just kind of gives you a taste of like many stories of like that with him. So he's back in. Kevin Mayer, he only left right at 2020 when they chose to go with Bob Chapek. He left because he didn't want to work under Chapek. And what was interesting is Mayer, he was kind of, he was the mastermind behind a lot of these acquisitions. He was the guy who ordered all the deals for Iger. He was kind of the negotiator, I guess you could say. when he left and Staggs left back in 2018 because of an internal rivalry with one of the board members that kind of didn't like Iger. So he got his favorite guy kicked out of the company. So now these two guys are back. They're consulting. One of their main things they're consulting with is they're trying to figure out ESPN.
Ooh.
And I have a question for you. The article that I'm reading here from Yahoo specifically details for ESPN to work and be profitable and not rely on the cable package anymore.
Yep.
A full ESPN Plus subscription where you have, you know, unlimited access to ESPN content would have to sit at around $30 a month.
Yeah.
And the question they pose, and you're the sports fan, not I, would a sports consumer pony up $30 a month to get unfettered access to all things ESPN?
$30 is a lot of money for one thing. For one, only one channel. And I've done right. so much research. Last year, we lost access to cable and ESPN specifically and TNT and the ability to log into all of those through our apps on Roku through a family member. Not like they were giving up their cable, so we weren't able to grab it anymore. And so we had to kind of go look and see, is it worth it just doing Rabbit Ears, versus, which is free, obviously, versus all the other options out there. And to a T, almost every single option was going to be for anywhere from $75 to $80 to $90 for access. Almost all of it. I think Sling was one of the few ones that you could kind of use, but really you only got like half the channels. You couldn't get Fox mm-hmm. and ESPN. And it was around $40 for that, and I'm basically paying $40 for ESPN, but not really, like, that's the reason I'd be buying it. It makes me a little sad because I was hoping it would be like a lot cheaper than that. Let's say like what I'm used to with Disney Plus or HBO Max or any of those other ones. Like, I'm hoping to pay around like sub $20. It's funny to say sub 20 is now the sweet spot of where we'd like to be. But right. they know they have something that nobody else can offer, and it's not available over the airwaves. It's not available anywhere else, and they're the only ones that have it. You got to start figuring it out if it's really worth it, because it's between $30
right.
or $85, and it's just a crazy right. town how much the difference is between that. So yeah, I think it's within the realm of it hurts, but you got to think about it.
Yeah, I think what I'm optimistic about is, one, these are two guys who know the Disney brand well. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear one of them in 2 years be named the new CEO of Disney. That seems Whoa. The most... that would be... If I were a betting man, that's where I would put my money. I also...
You're not going with Adam Silver? You're not going with Adam Silver from the NBA?
No. I'm balding enough. We don't need another cue ball out there. The other thing I'm optimistic about is it's obvious they're trying to figure this out. Like, there is a pressure. They feel the heat. And everything from the writer strike, actor strike, to even what you're describing, I think cord cutters, the initial appeal was, hey, this is cheaper. You know, I can actually save some money with this.
It's not cheaper.
And that's
anymore.
Not the case anymore. What you just outlined was how much it costs to have a cable package, right? I think we're going to come into a new era where it's going to cost the same as cable. Like, if we want to have access to everything, if we yep. want to rule the world,
we're there.
But we're going to have it on demand. We're going to have it on demand.
Some new features.
View it where and how we want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, yeah, if you want high quality stuff, you got to pay for it. You know, it's just like you get what you pay for. which is painful to say, but that's reality. And I don't know. I'm optimistic because I think they're going to have to figure this out. And I think in the end, the consumer is going to benefit from that. We're going to get a better product because they've got to demonstrate that it's actually worth ponying up that money.
Eddie, I love your deep cut.
What are you optimistic about?
I love the deep cut news that you give us. Like, no idea that this was even happening. And you're like, hey, I got these two people that are brand new coming back to Disney and giving me all kinds of feels and joy. This is great. This is awesome.
They're just consultants. They own their own, like,
air quotes,
Hollywood investment firm thing. It's just kind of weird what their actual company does. And I'm just like, yeah, you could easily just go right back over to Disney. Come on, let's be honest.
So to be honest, one of my reasons for optimism is I had to kind of look back and think what has been making me personally so agitated, anxious about the Disney situation right now. And what's interesting is what kind of grew it to a lot of its recent power and prestige, especially for films, has been the acquisition of Marvel and all of the Marvel films that came out in the MCU. That was their golden goose right there. And honestly, it's been Marvel that's been the issue for me of late. And so there's nothing Marvel that has been like drawing me in. I think we might have talked about this potentially last week, or maybe this is me talking with my wife. But there's nothing Marvel that I'm looking forward to. But on the other side, Star Wars, there's a lot to look forward to. We just talked about Ahsoka. Yeah. That's launching in August 26th. We've got Andor Season 2 hopefully coming out next year, as long as the writer's strike and SAG didn't completely derail it. That was an amazing first season. We've got, hopefully, I know this is a big air quotes, Star Wars films coming back to us in 2025, maybe. And I'm James Mangold, especially being a part of that, makes me excited. Mm-hmm. We're going to have more Mandalorian at some point. We're going to have more Baby mm-hmm. Yoda at some point. They're not going to kill off Baby Yoda. Plus, we've got the Acolyte and the Skeleton Crew. The Skeleton Crew should be here by the end of the year, if not early 2024. There's none of these things that I am tepid about. They're all super interesting things to me. We're about to get an avalanche of Star Wars stuff, for better or worse. So I think that is one thing that I am super excited about for Disney. Some reasons for optimism, even in the near future, as well as extended. We're talking about stuff all the way, I'm sure, till 2028 or beyond, especially with those Star Wars films. So I think that's what I'm excited about. Not as much Marvel, but the Star Wars content we're going to be getting here pretty soon. Are you excited about the Star Wars stuff? Where are you at with that?
Yeah, I guess I'm still coming on board with the idea of fully grasping, like, Disney is all of these things. You know, it's like... So I guess when you ask the question, like, what are you excited about when it comes to Disney? To me, still the core to Disney is the animated films, a few good live actions, and the parks, right? Like, to me, that's what I think of when
you
I
are the traditionalist, Disney. Eddie, of the two of us. You are the more traditionalist Disney, yeah, sure. Disney adult.
You're the one with tattoos, and I'm the one without. Let's be honest here. Let's just show our arms.
True colors.
So with that, like, yeah, I mean, I'm excited about Star Wars. I guess I've got my hopes up too many times and burnt that I'm just still just not there, ready to, like, jump back into their arms.
If they can channel whatever they made it with Andor and Mandalorian and give us more of that, maybe a little bit
and
of the
Rogue
fourth,
One.
Rogue One. And a little bit of The Force Awakens. I still like that film. I still like Force Awakens. I still have fond memories of it. If they can channel some of that and just ignore anything they did with the second two films and with Boba Fett and a lot of the energy from Obi-Wan, let's be honest, the old man, old hero that is past his prime. I'm done. I'm just done with that storyline. Too many of them. So you're okay. You're okay. It's not the top of your list. What else is on your list then, if not Star Wars?
I'm excited about Wish. Like, ooh, if you ask me, like, what is the film that for the rest of the year I'm looking forward to the most? I mean, the one that first comes to mind, I'm not like, I don't have a list of all the movies for this year in front of me, but Wish is there. I get excited about a future Disney animated project. I like that they're trying a new art direction, like that. Those types of things like kind of get me excited. You know, I like to see what that artistic style is going to look like in full form. They have marketed as kind of like a classic Disney fairy tale, a classic Disney villain, which is something we've all talked about. You know, we've talked a lot about here is just like craving a good classic villain. Apparently this is promised in there. There was an early screening with a lot of storyboards and stuff still in it, and people walked out of it saying really positive things about it. So if you ask me, like, what am I looking forward to the most, it would probably be that. I'm looking forward to whatever that is. From the parks, they have not announced anything. Like, there's not really any, like, there's no new projects on the horizon that have been announced. So to a certain degree,
still running,
that kind of gets me excited. Tron is up. It opened back in April.
They haven't closed it, reclosed it, or anything?
No. But I mean, it took them longer to open that one ride than it did to create like all of Walt Disney World. Yeah. So, I mean, for me though, I hear that and I'm going, okay, maybe that means we're just around the corner from like hearing some pretty cool announcements, and you know, they're going to put some pretty awesome things out there and we're going to hear some cool plans. So I'm hopeful for that. We'll see if that actually comes true.
Wish is a giant question mark for me. I don't know how I feel about the art direction. It feels 2D in a 3D world, and I don't know if I am that excited about it, other than what you told me, where people are saying this was really incredible. The story hasn't really caught my attention yet. I'm not sure really if I'm supposed to really fall in love with the talking goat or what. Maybe we'll get another trailer that gives us more of the direction. But I that's a question mark for me. And it's also a question mark of if it will actually come out this year, which we've highlighted in previous episodes of, will it get affected by the strike at all? So we'll see. But my next one, my next one that I am excited about for Disney, I just kind of put Pixar here because it's just generally a wild card now. Like, we've documented how we've been at first kind of upset with where they were at, but then when looking back at their films, they've got some quality stories, and like Luca, other gems in here, Onward, other things like that. I didn't even hate Lightyear, and I was pretty amused and interested in Elemental. So I think I'm going to put Pixar in here because they don't make like horrible films. They don't make complete duds, which we've gotten in some of the Marvel stuff that we've gotten recently. So I think they've got a really low.
They have one.
Well, we have Soul. One. Soul.
No, Soul's not a complete
the
dud.
Good the Good Dinosaur.
The Good Dinosaur.
Sorry.
Good Dinosaur is unbearable to watch.
But
I'm sorry.
But one out of 30 films that they've made, 20 films,
yeah,
25
you're right.
films.
No,
that's
you're
a great
You're making
that's a great
solid
hit.
Point.
So, and you're specifically the movie that gives me even more hope and more intrigue. I don't know why I said intrigue. I don't know why I said that. It's so weird. Mm. But Inside Out 2, it's supposed to come out next summer. That movie, I'm very excited. I've been wanting a sequel to the first one since I finished watching it for the fourth time in theaters or third time in theaters. And I'm just like, I need more. I need more of this. I need a variation. We need to go down a new path with new emotions as she's getting older. I think that holds a lot of fondness for me. I'm getting a little excited even just sitting here thinking about a sequel to that film.
Is Pete Docter coming back to direct that one?
Kelsey Mann, who did Monsters University.
Ooh, I liked Monsters University. We go back to that one a lot.
So that's one that I am excited about. I'm genuinely very excited about what is going to happen with the future Pixar movies, especially Inside Out 2. So
I'll give you that. And then what's the alien movie that's coming out from them? Elio.
We've started to get a couple trailers. We previewed that last week on what our reaction was to that film, yeah, or a couple weeks ago. So that's another one, but it's Inside Out for me that I am genuinely very excited about, to see what they're going to do with it, and hoping that most of the cast will reprise their roles. But Eddie, do you have any other reasons for optimism? Those are my big two, the Pixar and Star Wars, and just generally they got a lot more IP that they can work with. But is there anything else for you that you're getting excited about?
Yeah, I don't know. This is rumor. But there is rumor that like Disney is thinking about, can we just use Batgirl as a verb now? That they're going to Batgirl the new Snow White movie.
And just can it before it comes out?
Yeah. And just like act like they never even tried and went down that road. Wow.
That gives you optimism that they will can a movie before it gets out? Because,
well, one, I think I've stated very clearly I'm not a fan of going back and doing the remakes. And it just, the everything that we've seen so far just feels like they're trying too hard to like, we've got to really make this relevant, you know? And it's just like, and you just dramatically change what the movie is, and it's
the story,
like, well,
yeah,
then just go make that movie then. Like, don't try and redo I guess if that does come to truth, and there's a little, you know, I'm okay with one last live action remake. And I'm only basing this off of like one quick little picture that I saw, but yeah, I would, but that's like rumor. That would be huge for them to not do that. But they also, man, that's a big gamble to take.
So some true optimism for the things you were actually excited to see, and the fact that they're hopefully making wise decisions on the things that they need to cut their losses.
I mean, how many times has my dad told us to make wise choices?
Make wise choices, Eddie. Make wise choices, Disney.
Come on, Bob.
Let's do it.
Make wise choices.
So that's it. That is the Disney news for this week. We are trying to always keep you up to date on all the Disney news, so that's why we talk about it every week, movie, streaming, and shows. And if you're enjoying that, please go subscribe, share these episodes with your best friends, with your loved ones, with anybody, any other Disney adults you have in your life. And next week is going to be awesome because we are finally finishing the challenge we've been slowly moving our way through for almost 3 years now. We're going to get right before 3 years on this, I think, to go through all the movies from 1988 to 2005, aka our childhood, as we finish up next week with Narnia, with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So many people ask, what are we going to do? What's going to be next on this? Are we going to do the old movies, the new movies? Are we going to do a new challenge? You just have to check
our own movies.
Oh, our own movies in here, which is basically what we're doing here. You're going to have to come back next week and find out what it is we're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. We aren't going to give you any hints today, but you're going to have to listen next week to our episode to find out what we're going to be doing going forward. That might take up a lot of our Disney news next time. Disney news about us. And we do have a plan. We're working through it right now. Got some few things to work out, but we will have a new challenge. New movies, a new list that you can watch together with us. But today, that's not what we're here to talk about. We are here to do our second to last film on this road from 1988 to 2005. We're in 2005, so we are here to talk today about the animated film Chicken Little.
Cue the Disney sound effect.
Okay, the IMDb description, for all those of you who have not read the book about Chicken Little or have not watched this movie, which are very close adaptations of each other. They're very, very almost identical storyline if you've read the children's book and this sci-fi thriller. So this is the IMDb description for this. After ruining his reputation with the town, a courageous chicken must come to the rescue of his fellow citizens when aliens start an invasion. Dun, dun, dun. I like this. I'm sure there's probably problems, but I love the turn. I love the turn because it echoes this movie itself. I already knew what was going to happen in it because I had been in the room when my kids were watching it. But I'm just like, I know we're just going to jump straight into this. I love that they took a very simple story and kind of blew it apart into a completely new set of story. I actually went and looked up the book.
It's War of the Worlds for kids.
It's so funny because it's like the only pieces of this that are actually based off the book is there is a chicken, something fell out of the sky, yeah, and nobody believes him, but everything else is so vastly different. Even like in the book, the villain is the chicken. Like the moral of the story is, for that, when I was looking it up, it's like the Chicken Little learned that the sky was not falling and that sometimes it's okay to not know all of the answers. Like that's the moral of the story, is you don't have to like have answers for everything in the world and then like and believe it so hard that people just follow you to the bitter end. It's like, that's the turn. In this story, they made him the hero. And I just thought that was so fascinating of a turn for this story in this book. And I enjoyed that. Now, what were your thoughts, Eddie? Like, take me through your experience with this.
This movie has a lot of like ups and downs for me, because there's definitely like these moments of just like cringe, of just, oh, like, I don't know if I can sit through this any longer. And then it's like, what? Okay, that's, now you've got my attention. That's kind of interesting. That's intriguing. There's definitely a good turn in the movie when the alien plot line finally comes to full flourishing. You know, like that act one was really hard to get through. Dare I even say like painful at times to get through. But once you get through it, and once you're to kind of a more high energy level of it, it was really, it was, I want to temper this a little bit. It had some enjoyable moments to watch through. I think what this movie has going for it is an incredible voice cast.
Yep.
Like as I'm watching through this movie, I keep going like, man, I recognize that voice. Who is that? And I started like looking up all of these. I'm like, holy cow. I mean, they got, you know, Zach Braff is Chicken Little. You've got Joan Cusack in there. You got Steve Zahn, Gary Marshall, Amy Sedaris.
Don
Knotts.
You've
got Fred Willard, Catherine O'Hare, Patrick Stewart is in this. Patrick Walburton is in this. Like these are
Adam West,
the original. But for me, I thought what you just threw out his name, Don Knotts. This was Don Knotts' last film credit before he died.
Wow.
And like that's huge. I mean, he's like comedy legend, comedy Mount Rushmore. So to have him in there is incredible. So yeah, like, this is a really stellar voice cast that they put together for all of this. I love good needle drops, right? Like this movie has a lot of them, like just pulling out
Barbara
some
Streisand
fun hits to, yeah. I mean, there's just like one right after another through all of this and they have fun with it and they play with it. Now, there's definitely some moments where it goes a little overboard, you know, like the karaoke sequences and stuff. Like, nobody wants to see a giant pig, a large pig. karaoke like that a little too long. But so for me, like, those were kind of the two, okay, these are positives, these are good. But I would have to say, like, overall, the movie just never really pulled me in. It seemed a little too flat in the storyline. Picked up a bit, like I said, when you got the aliens. I'd call it like War of the Worlds for kids.
Yeah.
But the animation style, for one, was just cringy. To like, I am not at all interested. especially, you know, that this came out the same year as like Madagascar. Like, ooh, you compare that. And like a year from now, we will have Cars come out. Like Cars comes out like the next spring, I think it is. So you compare this to like Cars, Madagascar, where those animation studios were at the time. It's obvious they were behind the eight ball. Yeah, and it's really cringy.
I will second that. The animation is nothing to write home about. There is nothing beautiful, interesting about it. It is very standard animation, kind of bottom of the barrel. I think what I enjoyed about this film and what made it kind of like sink in for me was similar to what we saw about the storyline in, or the hook in, a previous film that we did, The Greatest Game Ever Played, was that they were the underdogs and nobody believed them. No one liked them. And they had their own little group of friends that you just grow to love throughout this, with the pig and Abby, the duck, the ugly duckling, like literally the ugly duckling, and the fish out of water, which is just, he's just there the whole time. He says very little things. I just like that little group of people, and I was rooting for them the whole time. And the fact that you open with nobody believes him in him. Nobody believes in, mm-hmm. believes him. And he's just trying to move on with his life. They have a fake movie made about him because it was so horrible what he did. And then he's just like trying to have his own life. And then like he has the triumphant baseball game. Eddie, you can't tell me you weren't like so excited when he gets it and he's like still swinging for it. And you're like, stop swinging the bat. He did it. And he gets home and he's in. And then there's like the fake out with the home plate. That whole baseball scene I was in on. I was so emotionally invested in that baseball scene. Were you not? Were you just like an old curmudgeon for that Heart of Stone?
There's very few baseball scenes I have ever got excited about. Like, we're limited
golf,
to
yes, but not baseball.
Rookie of the Year and Angels in the Outfield, I think, are the only two good like, ones, baseball. Yeah. I mean, the rookie, I mean, we gave it an okay rating for the rookie. So, yeah, no, that didn't do it for me. I did identify well with it. I was like, yeah, no, that would have been me out there on the baseball diamond. But
it didn't do it for you. So you weren't that invested in their little group, their little gang.
No, I was more annoyed by some of the side characters. Like, it just felt obnoxious to me. Like, it wasn't. Finally, we get the fuzzy three-eyed alien, and I'm like, okay, there's a character I
that
like.
Drew
like
you
that's
back
fun.
In. Okay, which you don't that get for very long. That's the last act of the film, basically.
Right. The friend group was just a tad too much, and I felt like we spent way too much time in the classroom playing dodgeball, being bullied and picked on. It's like, okay, we get it. You know, and I'm trying to like draw out some funny sequences with all of that. It's just, I don't know, that especially that whole first act, it was just, we can't get through this soon enough.
I will definitely say when it goes to space and aliens, where I agree with you, like it definitely picked up. It definitely kept you engaged. Mm-hmm. Like if it was just about him believing this guy is falling and trying to resurrect his social life, then yeah, it's not going to be that interesting of a movie. But I felt like setting that up then made it to where it does come true and they're all coming after him and he's still trying to do the right thing and using his little tricks that he had learned along the way to get the child home. I resonated with that. I thought the whole, you need to talk to your dad was way too forced. Like, you need to talk to your dad. That was like, please stop. We're trying to save the world. We don't have time to try to rectify something like hash something out with parents right now. Please stop. Yeah. So that I could have done without, even though that's, I guess, the moral of the story is parents believe your children. Is that the moral, the unintended moral? Not unintended. It was intended moral of this movie.
When somebody says the sky is falling, you should believe them.
Believe. Sky Maybe. Is falling, people. Believe. I think that's what I need to start going on YouTube and just saying, I believe in you, person who thinks that the earth is flat.
Yeah, no.
Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not the thing.
I do have one question. Fish out of water. Wouldn't he eventually run out of oxygen in that water?
Maybe he replenishes it between scenes.
The water? Like they just put in
some new water here or there.
These are the things that I get easily distracted on, where I sit there and I go, wouldn't he eventually run out of oxygen in that water? Plus, fish get oxygen by swimming through the water, that the water passes through their gills, right? He's not swimming through that water, so how is he getting oxygen out of that water?
You're right.
See, these are the types of questions that distract me. However, I think we got, for me, one of my favorite hidden Mickeys that we have gotten in a Disney film in a while. I don't know if you caught this, but one of the aliens looks at his watch and he's got a Mickey watch
with three eyeballs,
three-eyed Mickey.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I thought that was very, very clever and gave it a hearty chuckle.
Was it that hidden when they kind of held it in front of the camera for a really long time? Did you see the Mickey here? Did you get it?
I mean, it's a Mickey cameo. I don't know. What do you want to call it?
It's a hidden Mickey. It's just funny to call it hidden. So some of the rundown of things that I enjoyed, other random things I enjoyed in this movie. I liked when they split up the dodgeball teams and they're like, okay, popular kids versus the unpopular kids. I'm like, this is what dodgeball school in school really is
about.
Especially our sophomore teacher who hated most of us and just tried to pit one another against each other. I loved the guy holding up the sign at the game where it says weep hopelessly. And then when he's doing badly, it says switch loyalty sign. The vending machine was all of us at every vending machine ever. When they're like, I need a soda to be able to shake up and like burst me up to the top of the building. And the dollar bill won't work. And right when it works and you think it's going to work and it doesn't. And then he just destroys the machine. That's all of us. That's all of us doing that.
We've all been there.
When he's trying to get everyone to come over to the baseball diamond to see the spaceship and they're all running and it's in slow motion. It's like really driving my anxiety. And then they just stop to look at the penny and pick up the penny and like, oh, a penny. And then they move on. It's like, what's a random thing? Well, the original name for this book is Henny Penny.
Henny Penny.
So I was like, I like that nod that they have in there. But then when they're afterwards, when it's like, oh, he lied again, and they say, well, other than the penny, the whole evening is a wash. Then we got your hate box mail is full. Like when he's getting all of the people calling him. And then just in that last montage with the movie that they make about him, it's like civilization as we know depends on me and to a lesser extent, you. I just liked the little montage that they did.
That was a funny little bit of like going back and making the movie that felt very like meta, you know, very aware of itself. Just kind of a humorous bit. I also liked Don Knotts' character, the mayor, like constantly having to be on cue cards for everything. Very much ahead of its time of a politician not being able to speak other than from a prompter. I thought that was really quite humorous overall. I did find in my digging, in my research, a little kind of interesting side story.
Ooh.
That is intriguing, that this movie inadvertently played a big role in Disney acquiring Pixar. Would you like to hear about it?
I would love to hear about this. I'm here for it.
Yeah. So what's interesting is it's a bit of a roller coaster. So if you remember the films leading up to this, the Disney animation films leading up to this had not performed too well in the box office. Previous one being Home on the Range, which we still are recuperating from.
Still emotionally distraught from that movie.
One of my favorite Disney movies of all time, top five, would be Treasure Planet. in 2002, but also didn't perform that well at the box office. It didn't bring in the money. Atlantis, we've shared our mixed emotions about Atlantis.
Not mixed for me.
But it did not. It's mixed for me. It did not do well.
Atlantis part was bad. Everything before that was fine. It was getting to Atlantis with a letdown. Sorry. I need to you can go back and listen to our review of it.
And I guess that's what I'm saying was a mix. That was a mix. Like, we liked the movie until we got to Atlantis. And then Fantasia 2000, right? None of these really hit big box office numbers. And it definitely didn't get anywhere near what Disney had grown accustomed to in the decade previous.
Yep.
And this is why this has kind of been labeled the first decade, the aughts, as the dark ages of the modern Disney animation films, right? Chicken Little, there was these hopes of like, oh, maybe this will be the one to break the slump. But at this time, in 2006, with the release of Cars, Disney and Pixar's deal that they had created where Disney was going to be Disney was the distributor for Pixar films, was about to expire. And it was Cars was the last one for that deal. And the relationship between Disney and Pixar was not good. It was pretty strained. In particular, then CEO Michael Eisner and then CEO of Pixar, Steve Jobs, did not get along. There was quite a lot of tension there. And so it was a very contentious negotiations between Disney and Pixar, and a lot of it was dependent upon how Chicken Little would perform at the box office. If Chicken Little would have performed magnificently huge numbers, then it could have proven that Disney didn't need Pixar in order to make films in this new CGI era. This was the thinking. This was the knowledge. Or if it bombs, it would have given Pixar greater leverage to be able to say, see, look, you can't make CGI films. You need us. What is interesting is Chicken Little does neither of those. It actually reverses the slump. It performs better than any of the ones that I just mentioned. And it brings in about $314 million in its theatrical run.
The number two animated film that year behind Madagascar.
It's the number two behind Madagascar. So it's not terrible. So it doesn't give Pixar any leverage, but it's also not that great. It doesn't get what they really needed it to be. So it gives Disney the, we do need to get Pixar. So it is the impetus for Disney to recognize they need Pixar.
Wow.
But it also doesn't allow Pixar to just like have to demand these crazy things in order to get it. And I mean, the biggest thing that came out of all of it is they end up not extending the distribution contract that they had. Iger becomes CEO shortly after this movie is released, Chicken Little. And then, boom, he decides, no, let's just acquire Pixar and bring it into the fold. So it's very interesting that this is all going on all around Chicken Little, and everybody was just kind of waiting. Because I think if it would have gone extreme one way or the other, I think we would have seen a very different deal. I think if Chicken Little had done magnificently huge, I don't think Disney would have acquired Pixar. I think if it would have gone really poorly, really rock bottom, I wonder if it would have given Pixar the gumption to say, I think we could do this all on our own and not go into Disney.
And this is why you listen.
We will never know.
And this is why you listen to this podcast, because you get nuggets like that. You just don't get anywhere else.
I do my digging.
It's good stuff. So, Eddie, what are you going to rate this film?
It is a 1.5 for me.
Whoa,
I give
that
it
is
the
low.
0.5. I give it the 0.5 just because of the voice cast. But this is just nothing special. If I never have to watch this again, I will be very happy.
This is whatever the version of a popcorn flick for a Disney movie animated film is for me. Kind of turn your brain off, but it's got some lovable characters in there. Just enjoy the world is ending, the sky is falling, the search for the alien and trying to get him back. So I enjoyed it. I am probably, I guess in the end, I was expecting to be probably a lot higher than you because of what you were saying, but I'm probably still just going to give it a 2. Like if it's on, probably going to watch it. Kids are going to love it. It's not anything to write home about, but I had more fun with it than I probably should have, especially compared to Eddie's review. I was expecting it to be at least a point different, but it's hard to put it above a 2 point. It's hard to put it at a middle. It's not really a middle movie. It's not like a solid 2.5. So we're just going to go with, we're just going to go with 2 and just live to fight another day.
And with that, your life has been forever changed by another episode of Honey, We Made a Disney Podcast.
Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your other favorite podcasts. And while you're there, please leave us a 5-star review or share it with your best friend.
You can also check us out at honeywemade.com, where you can see our full movie list. And you will see that we only have one more movie on that list. That is next week's The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, as we conclude our watching of all the Disney movies from 1988 to 2005.
Thank you for listening. And remember, today is a new day.